Anyway, this is a wonderful day, and we just want to get into. We are currently, as you know, going through a series on people who met Jesus, and how, when they met Jesus, how it changed their lives. And I want to go straight into the story, which is found in John chapter 4. This is the woman at the well, this story is known as. And so I'm just going to quickly read through the story so that I can just refer to bits of it as we go through. Okay, John 4. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was going and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew. I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you've just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yes, a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" I presume to the woman, "What do you want?" And, "Jesus, why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. If you've been in church for any length of time, you will have heard someone speak about the woman at the well. And let me give you a brief summary of what you probably heard, like I heard, about this story. Here's it summed up. This Samaritan woman is sinful. She comes to the well at noon because, as a big sinner, she's an outcast of the town where she lives. Anyone coming for water would come around sunrise or sunset, but she comes at noon because she's not allowed to come with the other women, such a sinner she is. She's a disgrace. She's had 5 husbands, and now she's living with someone who's not her husband. And I would hear preached that she was living in sin, a terrible woman. No wonder the others didn't want anything to do with her. So when she meets Jesus, he says to her, go and bring your husband. And she says, I haven't got a husband. And then Jesus exposes her sin and says, you're right there, you've had 5 husbands, and now you're living with someone and you're not married. And if you read Bible commentaries, that's sort of the sum up of this story that we hear. Today, I want to look at this story through an understanding of the times in which this woman lived. We, with our Western heads, can so easily misunderstand what was actually happening in this encounter with Jesus. And because we get a wrong view, we get a wrong view of Jesus out to expose her sin. So the story begins that Jesus is taking the shortest route from where he was in Galilee, which meant going through Samaria. Now, of course, if you're a Jew, a pious Jew, you would not go through Samaria in case you came into contact with Samaritans. And so you would skirt round the region instead of just taking the shortcut. But Jesus doesn't do that. Now let me just say, we've heard this before, Samaritans and Jews hate each other. And it all goes back to the Samaritans 500 years before, mixing with the Assyrians who occupied the land, and they intermarried, and so they were no longer pure in the eyes of the Jews. So that's a view of the Jews, but Jesus is not a racist. And if you see yourself as a follower of Christ, you cannot be a racist either. For Jesus, it's the shortest route, and so he takes it. And he won't let a racist culture of the day among his own Jewish people dictate to him who he mixes with. Unlike the pious Jews of the day, Jesus knows that he cannot be made unclean by coming into contact with Samaritans. Just like he knew that he could eat and drink with tax collectors, prostitutes, outcasts of society, and it would not make him unclean. But there was a good chance that they would be made clean through their company with Jesus. And Jesus taught that defilement doesn't come from the outside, it comes from in here, the heart of a person. So Jesus, tired from his journey, he sits down. Let me just make a comment about that. Jesus tired, that, you know, he's not superhuman. He's not like, God who never gets tired, never sleeps. But Jesus, who'd limited himself to that of a human being gets tired. And so he sits down by Jacob's well near the town of Sychar, and a Samaritan woman comes to draw water. Jesus, it says, the comment is, he is alone because the disciples have gone into town to buy food. Now, it's quite a funny image, really, to me, because if you can imagine 12 disciples turning up in the local Aldi store, pushing a shopping trolley between them, going around the supermarket, they must have like looked really strange, 12 men going shopping, and probably a very rare thing today, because even one man doesn't like shopping, never mind 12. But there you go. They went shopping for food. Anyway, Jesus speaks to the Samaritan woman and asks her for a drink. In the culture of the day, Jesus was crossing all the boundaries. As a Jew, he's first of all communicating with a Samaritan. But not only is she a Samaritan, but she is a Samaritan woman. And he asks her for a drink. Now, for a Jew, a pious Jew, to take a drink from a Samaritan would make them unclean. But Jesus asks her for a drink. And so he's talking to her, which is another boundary breaker. Apparently, the protocol of the time was that a man could not even speak to his wife in public. And Jesus is speaking to a woman who was a stranger to him, someone he had never met before, who is not just a woman, but a Samaritan woman. Shocking. Shocking. We don't really get this, but at the time, shocking. Furthermore, Jesus is a rabbi teacher, and he begins to teach a woman. Shocking. Shocking for the time. And he's trying to tell her what he has to offer her. If only she knew who was speaking to her and what he had to offer her. A first century rabbi said this, "I'd rather burn the Torah than teach a woman." Jewish men of the day would include in their daily prayers, "Praise God, he has not created me a woman." It's all, I want us to get an understanding about this Samaritan woman. Women were so oppressed at the time and without a voice. You know, a woman's place was definitely in the home, bearing and raising up children, and providing hospitality. And she would live her whole life under the authority of a man, whether it was her father, husband, or a male relative of her husband, if she was a widow. As a woman, you could not receive any inheritance, only through a male relative. Any money that that woman would earn would belong to her husband. How things have reversed. In the temple, women were restricted to an outer court. They weren't allowed inside. In the synagogue, they had to sit separate from the men and were not allowed to read out loud. Women were not accepted as witnesses in a religious court because they were considered liars. So it wasn't great to be a woman in those days. But Jesus came to set the oppressed free, and that included women. And his treatment of women was groundbreaking and anti-cultural of the day. So Jesus, the rabbi, had, for example, women disciples who he obviously taught. No other rabbis would have done that in his day. But he believed in women. He believed that they had the potential to become like him. That's why they were his disciples. And although the testimony of women was not acceptable in a religious court, Jesus chooses to, after the resurrection, reveal himself to women and told the women, go and testify to the men that I am alive. And of course, the women do that and they go to the disciples, and what happens? They don't believe them. But the writers of the gospel in the end had to acknowledge that the testimony of the women was true. So with that understanding of the women of the day and how they were seen and treated by men, you can understand when Jesus asked for a drink, she was quite shocked. She said, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? And so the conversation begins. I haven't got time to go into all this conversation, but I want to highlight something where I believe for many years I misunderstood this story. When Jesus said, you've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband, here's the question. Was Jesus really exposing her sin? And I have been taught over the years that this sinful woman was probably a divorcee five times. And now she's living in sin with someone she's not married to. But there's something else about a woman living in those days that changes my understanding, and it's this. A woman couldn't divorce a man. Only a man could divorce his wife. In Deuteronomy 24, it describes that a man, if he marries a woman who becomes displeasing to him because he finds something indecent about her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, gives it to her, and sends her out the house. That's how easy it was for a man to divorce a woman. And divorce was so common in those days. Men, this is why Jesus actually focused some of his teaching on divorce. He was again standing up for women. You can't just divorce a woman and go marry someone else. But men would divorce their wives for really nonsensical reasons. If a more beautiful woman came along, he could divorce, write the note, see ya, and off with another beautiful woman. He could divorce her if, I don't know, she's a bad cook. I mean, any reason whatsoever, there was no limit on how men could just separate themselves from their wives. The point is this. The Samaritan woman who'd had five husbands, she's either been widowed five times, or a man has rejected her five times, or a mixture of both. So it's not so much she's a sinful woman, but actually she's a woman who's been rejected. This puts a whole new thing on this story. So she's been rejected, whether it's through bereavement or divorce, but she could never divorce a man. He's rejected her. And now she's living with someone. Now let's try and get into her understanding, really. She's living with someone who's not her husband now. Is that because she's too fearful to enter into marriage with him based on her life experience? And that's not that I'm excusing her, but maybe we can understand her better. This woman has had it bad. She's not been the instigator of what has happened to her. She couldn't be. She couldn't be. She couldn't divorce her husband if she wanted to. And how sad it is if this woman has been bereaved so many times. There are many, many people all around us who've known rejection and grief. Those who've been rejected even as children by their parents, or have lost contact with a parent through bereavement, divorce, separation, when their parents split apart. And we know how it goes as a child growing into the teenage years with anger and grief and feelings of desertion and rejection. A life that is crying out for love and attention, falling for every promise of affection and love, and yet each time finding themselves used and rejected. Finally coming to a compounded conclusion that relationships will always, at some point, always end up leaving you broken, feeling like a failure again, and you feel you're the problem. If someone gets close to you and gets to know you, it's just a matter of time before they realize you are not likable. So to stop yourself being hurt again, you put up a wall of defense and you withdraw behind it. The woman in our story is now living with a man who's not prepared to commit to her in marriage. Or she's fearful of another loss and being on her own again. I wonder if this Samaritan woman felt like this. After all she'd been through. So when Jesus said to her, "You've had five husbands," this is not about exposing her sin. It's about Jesus saying, "I know what you've been through." I know what your life has been like. I've seen your heartache. I've seen you broken and disappointed. I've seen your grief and rejection. I understand. But though you've been left dry and thirsty through the experiences of life, I'm offering you water for your soul. Water that will quench your thirst, not just now, but forever. This will be a spring of life within you that flows out to those around you. You will be a spring of life to others. I believe Jesus was being so gracious to this poor woman. And he does something that I don't know if he did anywhere else, but he tells her plainly, I am the Messiah. That was a rare thing for Jesus to do. But the compassionate heart of Jesus so wants to save this woman. If you notice, he doesn't say, look, go and sin no more. It's like somehow he's aware of her life and really wants to save her from it and how it has left her. This woman is changed by the conversation with Jesus, the longest recorded conversation Jesus had with a woman. And the disciples, they come back from Aldi, and they see Jesus with this Samaritan woman, and they are shocked, because that's what the times were like. This woman leaves her water jar, goes back to her people in town. Notice she's able to speak to the people of a town. They're not like, we don't want to hear you, we don't want to be near you, we don't want to hear anything you say. They actually listen to her. She becomes the first woman preacher. Come and see a man who's told me everything I ever did. Could it be the Christ? And in verse 39, it says, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. That doesn't sound like a woman put outside of the community to me. He told me everything I've ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. And they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you've said. Now we've heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. I just want to say this as we finish. Whatever life has dealt you, whether it's been a life of brokenness and rejection, or whether it's one of affluence and success, either one will never quench the thirst that is within you. There will always be a dryness. There will always be something missing in your life, no matter how well off you are or how poor you are. There is a thirst in every human being that can only be satisfied by receiving Jesus into your heart and life. He will be in you a source of thirst-quenching life. Jesus really is the Savior of the world. And he says to you today, this is what he says to you, just like the Samaritan woman. I know what you've been through. I know the detail of your life. You know what? Jesus didn't, he said himself, I did not come to condemn. I didn't come to point out your sin. I came to save you. And Jesus, the Savior of the world, whatever you've been through, he knows every detail and every pain of your life. Jesus says this, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for the thirst quencher you are. Lord, I pray for anyone here today who recognizes a deep thirst within their own life God, I pray that you'll speak into them. Lord, that they would respond to you and say, Lord, give me a drink. Lord, thank you that for every one of us who know you, you are in us a spring of living water. And I pray for refreshing for every saint in this place. God, if there's a blockage in this spring, may it be removed in Jesus' name. And God, may the gusher begin to gush. Lord, may this well spring up. Father, fill us with your everlasting life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.